the metaphysic of morals. And in that little book, he proves logically the fundamentals of faith. But what is interesting, everything that the church took from us, he proves. But the church added, he doesn't touch. He has nothing for Trinity. But he has for survival of the soul. He has for reward and punishment. Boilam Abo. Very interesting. Now, I meant to say that matters of faith are things which, if they are true, you can prove them logically. Now the question is, if you can prove them logically, why do you call them faith? You understand them? The answer is, there is such a procedure, a logical procedure, by the indirect proof. Are you familiar with it? Huh? There is the indirect proof. It's used a lot in geometry. Which means, assume, in order to prove your point, you take an assumption not like it. And then you show that it's an absurdity. And because the opposite is absurd, therefore you are convinced that it's like this. You are familiar with this. How do you call that the procedure? Leading up to absurdity.
The Latin phrase, reductio ad absurdum.
Yeah, the same example, leading up to absurdity. This is what emunah is. Emunah doesn't mean it's not logic. It is. Because you can't prove it, it couldn't be otherwise. So, during my mind, you can prove it couldn't be otherwise. Now, if I observe balance of life, the most perfect balance is within Torah circles, you know that? Observe the families, how happy they are. So it must be the best way of life. And really what we are doing, many things we don't know what we are doing. But we just obey, and it works out. We have just the experience that we have. The experience of life tells us it couldn't be otherwise. It's not human wisdom. You were talking before on about the Abani said, Krishanti would kill the mother. Not would let the mother kill.
Cattles.
There is the trouble with human wisdom is that we are going to extremes. That there is no balance. You know, it says in Chumash that when Adam HaRishon was chased out from Gan Eden, paradise, Hashem placed the kerubim, we don't know where they are, and the lahat acherav misapeches, the blade of a turning sword, not to let him go in, or the turning blade of a sword, shouldn't, what kind of a blade of a sword is it? It is very interesting. You know what a turning sword is? A sword, if I want to stab you, it turns and it stabs me. That's a turning sword, right? Huh? A boomerang. Whatever society has invented to make society better makes it worse. Take a look, liberty. Such a beautiful thing. Take a look what goes on with liberty today. It's chaos. It's anarchism. It's not safe to go out in the street in New York anymore. Out of liberty. It boomerangs. We invented something to make life better, easier, turns back on us. Isn't it? And because it's senseless. I remember in America they used to say, you have freedom of speech, but you can't hollow there's a fire in a packed hall. Remember this?
Oh, the packed theater, you can't heal fire.
Yeah, but they do it.
They make it fire.
Yeah. It's because it's whatever it is, we go, he said, we have to be good. Good, if somebody slaps you on your face, give him the other cheek, you know that story?
Sure.
Yeah. It's exaggerated, it's not balanced. The only place where I find balance is in Torah life. So if somebody asks me, I say, I have no problems. And then,
That's what Rav Zisha said. I have no problem.
Yeah.
I've been doing Miller, he has a lot of exact, he writes his books and he puts down some things.
Oh, he is angry at evolution. He's angry.
He goes off on that stuff. Yeah. He tries to pull all the facts up too.
Yeah. All right. Then I'll tell you something else. There is a boy. How long does it take an embryo to develop? The Chachamim say it takes 40 days. And after 40 days, it's already an embryo. Rabbi Shmuel says, Gemara in a Mishnah. Rabbi Shmuel says, if it's a male embryo, it's ready in 40 days. A female takes 80 days. And then the Gemara says they were discussing proofs, and he has a raya, he brings a raya from Chumash. He translates a word, he says an extra word to tell you that's for a female, and the Kiva Tilit, could have said in the Kiva he says, Leidu Acheres, takes it. Then the Gemara says, Tanya, Ren Abayis, Omer Lei Rabbi Shmuel, they said to Rabbi Shmuel, Maise be Cleopatra Marcus Yevonis. There was Cleopatra in Alexandria, the Greek, you know. She nischaibu is professor Arigla Marcus. She had a few women who had to be executed. So they made experiments with them. Botku mochu achazu v'achazu l'avoy. They made experiments with them. They made them pregnant. And then they killed them, and they found the embryos already at the age of 40. Omar lehem, Rabbi Shmuel said, Ani mevi lechem min ha-tiro, v'atem mevin li min ha-shoitim. He says, I proved you from the Pasuk in Chumash, and you proved me with those idiots. So the Gemara says, my min ha-shoitim? Why do they call them idiots? And says the Gemara, how do you know that those women had the female embryos? How do you know they were not pregnant from before? So he must say, nah, couldn't be. They made an experiment, so they gave them some medicine, which cleaned up their entire body. They made them pregnant. Sariman Rabbi Shmuel, what you say? He said there are some exceptional bodies who don't react to that medicine. That's why he called them idiots. Imagine there have been 20 women. 10 had boys, 10 were girls. All 10 were pregnant from before. All 10 were given the medicine and the medicine didn't work on them. Does it make sense? Huh? Doesn't make sense. So why do you call them idiots? You know, I'll tell you what the exceptions make. Rabbi Shmuel says, if you prove me a fact is a fact. I have to acknowledge it. But if you prove me human speculation, he says human speculation can make mistakes. I have a pasuk. I have a chumash. Are you understand? So the Gemara says, what speculations were the fact? Says it was not a fact. Because unless you use logic, those 10 could be exceptional women. But you say it's not logical to say. So therefore, even when you prove a fact, it's 99% fact, but there is 1% human speculation. The 1% logic. Logic, he says, against the theory is not. Facts against the theory we have to talk. As a matter of fact, this is exactly what I told you, is exactly what Kant says. Kant says there is no empirical proof.
For?
Huh?
No empirical proof for what?
For anything. Because you cannot have 100% fact. You cannot have. You have made an experiment and 1,000 cases came out. How do you know? Now there's a new theory today. I don't know the quantum theory. I'm not familiar. So they say that there is never said that will repeat itself. Huh?
There's always probability of different things happening.
Right.
Some more probable than others, and all they can predict is how probable. Right.
No, Kohelet. No Kohelet? Ecclesiastes? If you want to know what Kohelet is, it's a manual of philosophy.
What?
A manual of philosophy.
Yes.
And what Kohelet is doing, he's proving to you that you cannot solve all problems. He keeps on and said, this is wrong. Then maybe we'll try another way, it's wrong. Maybe we'll try another way, it's wrong.
Many contradictions.
Huh?
Many contradictions.
Many contradictions, right. The Gemara says, that's what I said. The Gemara says that there was a tendency, there was a consideration to take out Kohelet out of the Bichelian thing. Why? Because it's full of contradictions. They did not, they left this inside because it's starting with Divrei Torah, it's ending with Divrei Torah. Huh?
Ends with Divrei Torah.
Yeah, and starts. My Yisrael and Mochor knows here, but what does a person have out of all his labor under the sun? They say under the sun, it's above the sun. That's Torah. And then he says at the end too. So now here is a man, you ask him whether he damned Mincha. Mincha Shuri says, I made a speech today, big address. I said the Ashrei before, I said the Leni after. I didn't learn it. Did he damn Mincha? He made a speech. And by proceeding with Ashrei and ending it with Leni, he doesn't become a Mincha, right?
No.
So now, if Kohelet is not worthy because it's full of contradictions. He said the Ashrei before, he said before Divrei Torah, he said the end of Divrei Torah, but full of contradictions. What did he answer? Huh? The explanation is this. What's wrong with contradictions? Torah cannot have contradictions. Because Torah is honest, could be no contradictions. So if it's contradictions, it's human thinking. Human thinking. But Shlomo HaMelech did in Koheles, he wanted to demonstrate how the human mind looks. Says, try with the human mind. You go one way, hit the wall, go another way, hit the wall. Then he says, you heard everything, it doesn't solve. I said, Likim Yerovitz, Mrs. Now he says, you better be a God-fearing man. So therefore, he didn't contradict himself. He made a statement that the human mind is full of contradictions. That's true, that's an image. So it could be true. You follow what I say? So that's why I say that the book of Koheles is a manual of philosophy. You know how a manual of philosophy looks? Each and every fellow has a tear, beautiful tear. Comes the other one and criticizes. Then he says, therefore, it's my tear. Now, whatever one says against the other is clear. Whatever he says, his theory, is not so clear. That's what the manual of philosophy is. Huh? Because any theory, it's shaky, whatever. But the caches you have are good caches. That's exactly what Shlomo is doing in Koheles. The human mind cannot solve problems. And if you try to solve a problem, you know what you do? You have a solution to that problem and you create 10 new problems. All right, we stop here.
Yes, go.
I'm sorry, next time I'll... Word label. He also is a minor. He also can be eliminated in order to save the person whom he endangers. Are you following? And then the Gemara is asking a kasha. It says in the Mishnah that a woman who has a dangerous birth labor, and in order to save her life, the child has to be taken out, killed. It says in the Mishnah, you can do it as long as his head is not outside. If his head is already outside, ein doiche nefesh mepnei nefesh. You do not sacrifice one life for another life. So the Gemara understands. The Gemara understands that the minor, he is not that infant. That infant, at the time of birth, he is not older than a minor. And the Mishnah says you cannot kill him in order to save the mother. So how come that you say that you can kill a minor? So the Gemara says, "Shaini hocho de mishmayo karat kilei." It's different here, because that child is not the one who endangers his mother. He is only the tool which endangers the mother, because he doesn't do it knowingly.
It's not murder.
Huh?
If somebody is coming to kill you can kill him first.
Right. But Here the Gemara in Mishmaya Karat Falei. Nature. Nature is the hazard. Huh, you understand? That's the Gemara. In Rambam, it says a little different. In Rambam it says that before the head is out, you cut him up because he is endangering the mother. And the Gemara says different. The Gemara says that he is not the one who endangers the mother. He is the tool. You follow? So this is the question of the Rambam, and there are so many explanations to it. That's from Reb Chaim Brisker and that Rambam. But to understand it simply, I'll tell you what it is. It says in the Mishnah, Eilu shematzilin oisam benafshan. The following we can rescue them by killing them. Rashi says we rescue them from the avir. Now that's a new approach. If somebody wants to, if A wants to murder B, I kill A not only to save B's life, but to save A from becoming a murderer. That's a new approach. And when you learn the Gemara, you find that sometimes the Gemara is talking about saving the victim, and sometimes the Gemara is talking about saving the murderer from becoming a murderer. You understand? What is that combination? The combination is this. If A is chasing B, if I wouldn't mix, B will be killed. If I'll mix, A will be killed. Why should I prefer one against another? Even by Reudev, there is no logic that he should kill the Reudev. There are two people, either this one will be killed or this one will be killed. Why should I mix in? You have a question? The answer is, that the Torah said, the Torah has established that a potential murderer should be regarded as a murderer in that case. It says in the Mishnah, Nidin al Shem Sefer.
Like
Ben Sefer and Murder. Huh? Like Ben Sefer and Murder. Right? Yes? Nidin al Shem Sefer. This Nidin al Shem Sefer, he is going to be a murderer. Stop him before he becomes a murderer. Therefore, so the principle is always Ein Doich Nefesh Mefen Nefesh. One life is as important as the other life. But this one has forfeited his life, because he's going to commit a murder. Have you followed this?
But the person who's going to kill him is murdering him.
Huh?
If I can kill A to prevent him from killing B.
You're not a murderer.
No.
You are the murderer. You know when? If you could injure his hand and save him from killing, and you kill him, you're a murderer. Because you can kill him only to prevent a murder. But if you could prevent a murder another way, then killing him is murder. Are you following? Mm-hmm. Even if there is no other way to save the victim but to kill him, you have to go through that process that Tera says, save him from committing a murder. Because if not, for being a potential murderer, you have no right to prepare one and the other. So you stay away. You understand? Mm. Now, how is the deen? If somebody told the rat to kill somebody. Who is the roidev? The man who throws the rat or the rat?
Who is what?
Who is the roidev? Who is the one who is going to be a murderer? The man who throws the rat or the rat?
The man who throws the rat.
Now, here is instead of a rat, he uses a child. He takes a child and he throws on somebody to kill him. Is that child a murderer? He's just a tool of murder. It has been used as a tool. Huh? Mm-hmm. So, in that case, how would be the din if somebody takes a child and throws another man and wants to kill it? I can kill the child and stop the killing. Can I do it or not? Mm-hmm. You understand? It's not a question of A. A I cannot touch. And A is a murderer. But A takes an infant and goes to throw it on somebody. If I can just aim and shoot the infant, and for some reason he wouldn't, or I can throw the infant out of his hand, the infant will be killed. Can I do it?
No.
Why?
Because you may not be preventing the murder that way.
No, I'm preventing him. But let's say he has no other tool, and I'll just throw the child out of his hand.
The child is a tool, and therefore his life is just as important as
yours. Right. Because the child is not a murderer, therefore his life, he has not forfeited his life, and therefore I have to stay away. Are you understand? Mm-hmm. This is what the infant is. The infant is really endangering his mother's life. But he is endangering his mother's life by being the tool. Are you understand? So therefore, before the head is out, and I ask which life is more important, before the head is out, he has potential life. He doesn't have actual life. So then, actual life is more important than potential life. I cut him up. But as soon as the head is out, it's life, it's actual life. And being that he is only the tool, I cannot touch the child. That's the explanation to what you asked.
The real question is that I want to ask, I just got you.
Yes.
If you just said, okay, when he's inside the mom, he's potential life.
Right.
And outside is actual life.
Yes.
So now being potential life, why do we say you cannot do abortion? That's what I want to know.
Because potential life, it's only to save another life you can.
So
potential life is also
a,
and the Gemara says a non-Jew who commits abortion has to be executed.
Even in under the proper. Benaya
chayev ala ubrin.
What do they mean by when a non-Jew doesn't honor Jew, or just when a non-Jew doesn't say anybody?
I think we're attached to anybody.
Even potential life.
Even potential life. It says that a Benoyach is more, on the seven mitzvahs of Benoyach, he has more responsibility, is more liable than a Jew.
What's the penalty of a Jew?
Huh?
The penalty of a Jew,
I'll tell you, it says in Chumash. Stay away from a false thing. The Noki Vitzadik al Taharik, do not kill an innocent person. Kiloy Azdik Rosha, because Hashem says, I am not going to let the wicked be unpunished. You know what it says in that pasuk? That pasuk is talking to the judge. He has a capital case in front of him. So the first thing we tell the judge, be careful, don't make any mistakes. It was Sheker Tichok. Stay away, watch yourself from doing a wrong from for making a wrong decision. If you in doubt, and then if you are in doubt, you say, if I like with him, I'll acquit him, a guilty person. Mm-hmm. Or you'll say, if I will punish him, I'll punish an innocent. So the Torah says, if you have that dilemma, do be concerned not to punish an innocent person. Why you say? Because for the wicked, don't worry. If you can't punish him, Hashem says, I'll punish him. Kill him as a cross, I wouldn't. He wouldn't escape me, Hashem says.
Another way,
yeah. That's what the Pasuk says. The same thing is what this is. This is a crime which is not given to the court to punish. So Rabbi Yisrael has reserved it for him, of killing a potential.
So it is or it isn't.
It is. But it is the kind of a murder that the court cannot punish. So do a bit.
If you take a potential life, you're not sure. If you take a potential life, you have to be sure that he will kill. In him being born, he'll kill his mother.
Oh, that's different. When you are sure that he's going to endanger his mother, then you have to do it.
It's when we're not sure.
Yes.
And if he takes his life and he was wrong, then it's wrong.
All right.
This is why the goyim have a different flow.
Huh?
The goyim have a different flow. If the mother's life is in danger, if the child's life is in danger, she may come out alive or not alive, they killed the mother. But then it's permissible. And the rooster is that. It's a normal thing. The Catholic religion.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
They save the child.
The Catholic religion says it.
They save the child.
Huh?
A new life will be born.
Abortions are never permitted.
I see. I'll tell you something.
This is why Sanzolius, to kill the mother.
Huh? It's a logic that says you don't kill the mother. You don't save her life, that's what.
Mm-hmm. No, they say that they take preference to save the child.
Yeah, I understand. But I'll tell you, since we don't have Gemara, I can talk anyway. There's a medrash. A medrash that one of the Roman governors, after the destruction of, it was Rome at that time, yeah, and he is talking to him. You know there is a book, Akiva? And you know about that book?
I've heard about it, yeah.
By Dr. Lena? It gives you a lot of information about that period.
I have the book.
You have it? I'll be surprised if they wouldn't have it in the library here.
In English,
yes. Akiva. So the Medrash tells a story that the Roman governor in Eretz Yisrael talks to Rabbi Akiva and says, I am greater, he says, than Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm greater than your teacher Moses. He says, why do you say it? He says, you believe in King Solomon? Here comes Rabbi Akiva and makes a statement. Moshe Rabbeinu said, don't make fire on Sabbath. No, you make fire on Sabbath. It's surprising. You know what happened? There is a book, I think they have it here in the library. It's called The Rose Bed. Have you seen that book?
Huh?
By Schiller, right. And he explains it. It all started after the French Revolution.
Yes.
Yeah. The third day, Rabbi Akiva could make a statement, no Jew, just no Jew.
Today he could make a statement.
Only.
Today he could throw stones at Shabbos.
Yes. So, and it says, take a look. You say there's a dog alive. You issued the decree and it's not being observed. And my teacher Moshe said, made a decree and it's still being observed. He says, my teacher is alive, you're dead. Mm-hmm. Now, you should ask a question. We cannot make fire on Shabbos? Never? We can. If somebody is sick and you have to save your life, you make a fire on Shabbos. And that fellow who made a fire that day and they called him to the governor most probably also explained, I had a sick man in the house. So why is he, where is the difference? Are you my question?
Okay.
The question is, he said, Moshe Rabbeinu made a decree that you shouldn't make fire on Shabbos. Nobody makes fire. But somebody makes fire. And there is an ill person, you have to make fire, right? And Moshe Rabbeinu says, do it. And that man over there in that city who didn't listen to the governor's decree, most probably is also an excuse. So what is the difference? Tell you what the difference is. Practical people, never buy a first model car. You know? You give it at least a year for the company to find out, take the bugs out. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
And you never know because you cannot foresee everything. And by experience, you find out this isn't working, this isn't working. So which means human planning needs always adjustment. Is that clear? The same is with law. Law is constantly being adjusted. Because you cannot foresee old cases. And then they have a new case and there has to be an exception. It's only divine wisdom which can give you a law with all exceptions. Understand? Human wisdom gives you the law and learns by trial and error to find out when to make an exception. That's what Rabbi Akiva said. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu gave us a law. His law never had to be changed because it told us from the beginning, if somebody will be sick, he can make fire.
He doesn't
have to adjust it, either. He doesn't need any adjustment. I'll tell you something which is very interesting. I heard it from a rabbi in Los Angeles. That rabbi happened to be a brother-in-law of the Satmar Rebbe today. The first mitzvah in Chumash, which was given to the Jewish people as a people as a whole, is the mitzvah of making a calendar. A chiddush hazalacha. That's the first command. It's the first command in Chumash. But the first three were not given to the people as a people. Rabbi Marishan was given a command. A command for Purvul to marry, to build a family. And then Avraham Avinu was given a command of different people. And then the children of Yaakov are given a command for Gidan Osher, for a certain artery. I don't know how you call it. So, twice is 59 days. Twice, 29 and a half is 59, right? So therefore we make 1 month of 29 days, and the next month we make 30 days. So we have... So then we are just behind 44 minutes. But during the year, you are coming close to 9 hours, between 8 to 9 hours, the total short. Huh? So we have other adjustments. There are adjustments. The solar year, so the lunar year, 12 times 59. You're 5,000. That's an easy way to become an actor. Well, it's 6 times 59. Sure, 6 times 59.
354.
The solar year is 365 and a quarter, approximately, right? So therefore, we are running short. And if we would have only a lunar calendar alone, then our sukkahs would sometimes be in the fall, and sometimes in the summer, and sometimes
in the same year, so it's a shorter year.
So
it float around the...
So we would lose the season. We would lose, and now here we would lose all season. So there is another mitzvah in the Torah. Shomer at Tzedek Shavit. Watch that Pesach should always be in the spring. How do we do it? In every 19 years, 7 out of 19, we make 13 months instead of 12. That's the Jewish leap year. And then you'll see that you're coming very close. Because in 19 years, let's say if you, in each and every year you were behind 11 days, right? Huh? Mm-hmm. 11 times 19. 209. 10 times 19 is 190. 190. 209, right? And you give it 7 times 30 is 210. They are coming very close. Huh? And then we have other adjustments. The adjustment that we not always have 6 and 6. Sometimes we have 7 times 30 and 5 times 29 and vice versa. And all those changing a day here, a day there, equals that. Are you understand? We have something else. Because we are short not only 11 days, we are short also not 19 times 11, we are short also 19 quarters, close to a quarter. Huh? So there are other adjustments. The idea is that all this, with all adjustments, were given to us from Sinai. And we are always calculating the same, and we don't need an adjustment. I spoke to somebody here in Jerusalem, and he's a professor of physics here, Leo Levy. You know Dr. Leo Levy? Huh?
I met him a few days ago.
Yeah. I spoke to him. He told me that actually today, maybe the 29, 12 hours, 24 minutes, and what 18th of a minute, maybe there is 1 or 2 seconds of difference. Since the Tera was given, and not since the Tera was given, we are calculating, consider the world was created. Yes, the calculation is that the first year from Briyas Olam, that the first Moilad, you know what the Moilad is? The Moilad is the new moon. Our calculation goes from the first new moon during the creation, which was on a Monday. That's how the tradition is. The Moshe Sinai, Baharat, it was on Monday, 5 hours, 204 fractions of 1,080. And from there on, it keeps going with 29, exactly the same. And today, maybe there is a second or two. That's what Levy told me. The general calendar had to go through some adjustments. Now, you know that. Huh? First there was a leap year, and then they came out, it's too much. Then every 100 years we cut out one leap year. The Jones account, he says, when the Torah was given, the generation who was standing at Har Sinai, they didn't have any problems. So they experienced it. Their children heard it from their fathers. The grandchildren heard it from grandfathers. The more time it goes away, the less you have family tradition of Har Sinai. When it comes to the calendar, the more time it goes away, and you still don't need an adjustment, you have more proof that it's not human vision. Because this is why it was given the first mitzvah, because it was a built-in enforcement of termination. Are you following? He is not alive anymore. Rabbi Isaacson Zachen was a servant. I heard from him. Was it clear what I said or not?
Very clear.
About how the world is, or about what the meanings to the world are. I guess if we restrict science to
I don't think the science is concerned about meanings. Science is, on one hand, utilitarian, is concerned what use can we make of things. And that's what discoveries are. Nobody is asking for the function. Yeah. And this is science. And then there is pseudoscience. Pseudoscience are things which you cannot take into a laboratory, which you cannot test. You can say anything.
Let's say specifically when the scientist says that the
yes.
It's true, you can't take into the laboratory,
mm-hmm.
but if they say that the age of the universe is 20 billion years old.
Right, right.
The Torah says 6 days, which could mean a lot of things. What kind of approach should a believer, a from Jew, take with regard to these issues?
Now we have you have that the theory of evolution. You know what's happening? Can it be proven? It cannot be proven, right? It happened that some people had some objections, very serious objections to it. By the way, there is a book by a man by the name of Kuhlman. Yeah, he is working in a bank in Tel Aviv, I think. And he is called Hadash Revolution. I think that I have that book, and he is listing all the arguments for and against. It's not a certain thing. There is no question about it. On the other hand, what happened to it is that story where that fellow he comes into shul and calls over the shamans and says, "I have a proposition. If you listen to me, $1 million fetish." $1 million? He says, "What do you want me to do?" He says, "I want you to introduce in shul that whenever they'll have to say Amen, they should say Pepsi Cola instead." And he's smart, because you can keep on repeating Pepsi Cola, Pepsi Cola, Pepsi Cola, until it becomes a fact. It is Pepsi Cola. That's what happened in the theory of evolution. People say Pepsi Cola. And you know why? It happened in America because of the separation of state and church. The separation, and our Jews have been fighting for it. It's the American Jewish Congress, the American Jewish Committee. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, it's not a sweet pepper.
I know.
Yeah. They were fighting separation of state and church. So therefore, you cannot learn creationism in school. You go to church. So if not, you have to teach the theory of evolution. Now, the teacher heard it in college, and he believes his professor, whatever the professor tells him, he believes. So he knows it's a fact. He teaches to the kids a fact. And not only it destroys them religiously, it destroys them intellectually. Because they believe in things which are not examined. You follow what I said? And plain human logic. It all started from a cell. And that cell developed, became a fish, then became a donkey, then became a monkey, then became me, right? How smart was that cell? Huh? So somebody must have figured out that cell. We don't have to go far. I take apple seed. Can we figure this out? Can we figure this out, that there is a perpetual thing, that seed will produce a tree, the tree will produce an apple, the apple will have a seed, and that seed will produce another tree. Endless. And it just happens. It doesn't make sense. Even as a lemon, it doesn't make sense. Are you understand? But the trouble is, it became Pepsi Cola. Mm-hmm.
Like an human brain, the Jew that came into the world and said, "You know, we come from monkeys. It's nicht hier.
Yeah.
You come from monkeys, not me.
Right.
That's true. We come from monkeys.
Yeah. Darwin.
Yeah. So you think there's no truth in the
pardon?
You're saying there's no truth in the evolutionary theory, there's a sort of thing in part.
I say that anything that cannot be proven in a laboratory, I don't have to believe.
Well, fair enough, but you could say the thing before because you're told the same thing time.
Oh, there's something I'll tell you. I had this years ago. A fellow came to me. He says he believes in everything. He believes in nothing. He cannot believe in the divine origin of God. So I started calling him names. You're an ignoramus. You don't know what you're talking about. He said, "Why do you call me names?" I said, "I'll tell you why. How do I know termination? I know it because the more I learn it, the more I am convinced that it could not be human wisdom. So I'm coming to one, if it's not human wisdom, my eye, it's revelation. You have not opened the Gemara. You don't know anything. Why, wherefrom should you know that it's not human wisdom? Huh? There is, you should know that anything which has to do with faith, with believing,